Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for allowing us to meet together, to hear from you and your word. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your blessings and your protection as we will look at a familiar psalm today. Such a blessing psalm. So guide us now as we open your word and then lead us by your spirit as we go to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to look again at Psalm 91 because I'm kind of going, we were in order on 90 with Moses' psalm, and then we took a break from that trend last week and went to Psalm 22 because of Good Friday and Resurrection Day. So we're back on after 90 is 91. And so we've had 91 before. In fact, the last time we had 91 was right in the middle, in the beginning of COVID 3 years ago, talking about the pestilence, right? Because it's got pestilence in here two times and very few scriptures talk about pestilence more than once. But at any rate, we have, if you would look at your notes or your Bible, there's about four things in here that this blessing psalm is conditional on. And I want to just keep those in mind as we go through it. Verse 1, it says, he who dwells. And then verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And it gives a whole bunch of blessings. And then verse 14, two things there. Because he has set his love upon me, and because he has known my name. So those are things that we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing in those areas? Because all these blessings are all ours, but they are conditional on our behavior in one way in terms of what the psalm is going to tell us. So I wanted to begin with an old hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. And this psalm was, it's a new psalm, as many of you know. It was written in 1500. So, you know, those songs don't last very long, do they? Penned by Martin Luther, actually, he was born 1529, and so he wrote it sometime in his lifetime. I don't know, it might have been into the early 1600s, but anyway, it's about 500 years old. So we're looking at another oldie but goodie, in a way, in terms of these hymns, it seems to me. So we'll do a couple of verses of it here, and let us sing, He is our fortress. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. So let us sing along.
Thank you.
So Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. That's an amazing couple of verses there, of course. What does dwell mean? Dwell means to abide. It means to settle down. It means to remain. So how are you in abiding, remaining, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Now, we have four different names of Jehovah given right here in these two verses. El Elyon is the Most High, the possessor, so to speak. Then we have the Almighty, that's the provider, that's the El Shaddai. Then we have the Lord, that's Jehovah, he is the promiser, right? And then we have my God, Elohim, who is our power. And so we know that Jehovah is whatever we need, he is. And so here we have him given four times in these two verses, but the key here is he who dwells, he who dwells. I like what Vernon McGee said about it. I look at my life, he said, speaking of himself. And he said, too often, my life with the Lord is like a motel. I check in for a night or two, and then I check out again. And I was thinking how true that is. Everything we have in the Bible, in one way, we look at it and we say, yeah, I agree with that, and I do that, and then do I do it all the time? I want to do it all the time, and we will eventually get to that point where we're like Christ-like, and we will do it all the time, everything that we're supposed to do. But now, I don't know, I think I'm staying in the motel maybe two nights instead of one night. But he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Abide means to be protected and last, what? Under the shadow of the El Shaddai, of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Can you say that and mean it? I mean, can you say that? Or do you tell other people, yeah, that's what he is, and they look at your life and they say, well, be nice if you lived it. And when I say all these things about you, I'm talking about me, really, not you, but I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, I will trust. Now we'll change from the first person, we'll go to the second person for most of these other verses here. Verse 3, surely he, that would be the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord and my God, shall deliver. He shall deliver you. You meaning us. He shall deliver. Now all these yous, we've got a whole bunch of yous and yours now. That means us. He shall deliver you. He shall deliver us. From what? The snare of the fowler. Now in those days, they didn't have, you know, shotguns and rifles and all that. So you would bring down birds and things with a trap. So this is basic from the snare of the trapper. Who is the snare of the trapper that's out to trap all of us? Did you get trapped this week? How many times did you get trapped this week? Did you get trapped yesterday or this morning? We've got that Satan and all his workers out there trying to snare us, right? But he will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Now, with all due respect, some of you may like face masks. I don't know. I don't want to step on your toes if you do. But I wonder why we're wearing masks, believers. Why are believers wearing masks? I understand unbelievers. I understand people who have no resistance. If their white count is so zero, you want to protect yourself every way you can. But most people wear masks because they're afraid. Why would a believer be afraid? Well, he will deliver us from the perilous pestilence. And then he will cover you. He will cover you with his feathers. Now, if that wasn't so holy, that would be kind of blasphemous. You mean God is a chicken? God is a feathers? Well, we do have that. I was reading where this story where they had this, came across this fire that burned so terribly, destructing this area. And they were walking over the fire and they saw this mother hen sitting there, tarred completely, just still sitting in the same place where she was burned alive. They kicked it over, and there's a whole host of young ones under her, you know. Think of the protection she gave them. She gave her life that they would live. And we see here with this is the way he is with us. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Then it says his truth. This is really an important verse to me. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. What is his truth? You're looking at it right here. This is his truth, his word. Amen. Were you in it yesterday? Were you in it the day before? Were you in it every day since we last met? This truth shall be your shield and buckler. The shield is the big sword, is a big, the big shield that gives you total protection. You know, these guys would walk around, and what made the Roman legion so strong, they had these big shields, almost half, you know, and they'd kneel down, and it would cover from head to foot. And they would have this phalanx, they would call it, and they would gather in these little groups of about eight guys, I think it was, and they would have the shielded all around and shielded over their top. And so the arrows would come in and blink, 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 blink. They were all protected, and they were invincible. And then they had the little buckler. That's the small shield. That's for the hand-to-hand combat. And there was nobody better at the hand-to-hand combat in training than the Roman soldiers. And remember, that little hand-to-hand sword is the two-edged sword. It cuts up and it cuts down. The other big long sword, that's for whacking away and knocking people's heads off and stuff, but that doesn't do you any good when you get into hand-to-hand combat. You go back to make it strong and you're dead, you know? So you got this hand-to-hand combat. So he then is our shield, big shield, and he is our little shield for hand-to-hand fighting. So you see Satan at times, you need the big shield, but then and he crawls in maybe in a very small way. You need a little shield, right? So, but he is our shield, his truth. That's the word of God, is our shield. And then you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. When's the last time you were really fearful? Last night. I heard a noise. I don't know what it was. But you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies in the daytime. Nor of the pestilence, there's pestilence again, that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So we've got night, we've got day, we've got darkness, and we got daylight. We got the noonday. So that's pretty much it. He's protecting us all around the clock, isn't he? And then verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You won't experience their judgment, but you will see them cast down. Now, verse 9 is back to an application again. Because, this is for believers, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge. There's the refuge again. Even the Most High, there's the Most High, El Elyon again, your dwelling place. So this is just basically a reset here again. Going to have more blessings poured out here, but again, reminding us it's conditional because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. So again, forget being committed to a motel room of checking in and out. Move into a home permanently, right? Where you're dwelling with him permanently. He is your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you because you have made. No evil shall befall you because you have made, nor shall any plague, there again, pestilence type, come near your dwelling. There's dwelling again used. Verse 11, another blessing because you have made. He shall give his angels charge over you. Now that's amazing. That angels is plural there. How many angels did it take to kill 185,000 Assyrians? One. So if one angel kills 185,000, He's giving angels charge over you. Is that protection or what? My, oh my. What, to keep you in part of your ways? No, in all your ways. Do you feel like he's really keeping you in all your ways? Yeah, again, in my motel, yeah, when I'm in the motel, but when I check out of that, maybe not so much. Huh? Into their hands they shall bear you up. Now, this is what Satan was coming to Jesus in the wilderness experience. Remember, he's quoting this verse, these verses here. Misquoting, but he's quoting them. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, meaning invincible, really, because of his protection and his power. Now, verse 14, 15, 16, the close, which you hear this at many memorial services, and I even like all the he's in here, I like to put the name, you know. So put your own name in there, if you will. Because, now here again is a conditional, because he, or you, has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, what? Because, another because, he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. All these I wills in here. This is God doing this for you and for me, but again, it's conditional on those things. Setting our love upon him, knowing his name, calling upon him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that psalm a blessing? If you just look at that, and it's a very familiar psalm, but spend a little time on it and just let the Lord bathe you with his blessings, and then keep one eye open on the conditional aspects there, and make sure you're checking in for a long-term residence and not just in and out. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that you are a promise-keeping God and showing us your salvation. What a blessing that is. And oh, how we wish that was true for every single living person. But we know it's not. We know your word says broad is the way that leads to destruction and few are they that find it. I thank you for the blessing of the family here this morning. You've allowed us to see your salvation. And help us to pray now as you would lead us by your Spirit and redeem these moments we have together in prayer. Lead us now in Jesus' name. I'd like to close just a few minutes early, and then after we're done here, maybe break up into two groups, women and men, and women to spend a little bit of time together praying to be a godly woman and the men to be godly men and husbands and fathers and so forth, as the case may be, for just a few moments. But first we want to close with the psalm here in a way, and just looking to him as our shelter and our support, and really singing this old song, praise song, really leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's sing this song together.
Oh,
Father, we do lean on you. Oh, help us to be dwelling in you and be protected by you. And Lord, we just thank you for meeting us here this morning. And as we have just a few more minutes, maybe we could just break up into a couple of groups and just pray for one another a bit, or whatever you put on our hearts, and focus a little bit on the anti-culture thing of thinking that men and women are all the same, because they're not. Mothers are mothers and fathers are fathers, should be anyway, and yet we've got that all mixed up right now with all of the divorces and all of that kind of thing. But just help us to be godly in the role that you've created us in, Lord, and to love and to care for and to lift up whoever you put in our hearts. But thank you for meeting us here this morning in this beautiful Psalm 91. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.